Soul Penitentiary.
Let's get it on.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music.
We are the Inner Circle, baby.
A little bit of the bubbly.
The Monday Night Messiah.
For the love of God, stay away from the different dogs.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am the advocate for the administration that allocates alliteration all across America, and I am joined, as always, by the architect, the scientist, the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the... You got it. Yep, got it. The other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It's DPP.
Welcome back, PC Tunney. Had a week off there. It was nice, but we had Big Dave filling in for you, and We had a good time.
Yeah, I know. I left you guys a real rough show. I had a preview Clash of Champions, do trivia, listen to Dave talk for a while. Let's bring him in, the third member of this triumphant trifecta of triangular podcasting. It's none other than the funky, phenomenally fresh AJ Belez.
And even more alliteration right there. Wow. But yeah, it is good to have you back and give us that classic intro that we're all used to.
Oh yeah, because mine apparently was the drizzling shits last week. You know,
nah, that's not true.
Give yourself the buzzer. Yeah, I listened to, I don't know, a little bit of the beginning, a little bit of the end. Nothing major.
It's just then Tony doesn't even listen to his own podcast.
I oh God, you know what? SDP, you get to so many, doing so many, and so many a week, even, and
you don't have to defend that.
It becomes a running gag.
I've never listened to a single one of my podcasts because I just can't listen to myself. So,
I was about to say, I'm the same way. I listened to the first couple for me, and then I'm like, all right, I sound fine. I'm done.
I listen to like certain things, like we'll post a show and we'll do a new bit, or we'll have a bit that I thought was funny or not, or something I didn't think went well, and I'll listen back like that. Or definitely when we used to do a lot of interviews, I would always listen back to the interviews at least once, maybe twice, just to kind of figure out how to become a better interviewer. But yeah, other than that, I get down the line so many episodes, and so I sound like a jackass. You know, after all the podcasting that I've done and people I've interviewed, I don't listen to any of that stuff anymore.
Just one line. It just flows all together.
Yeah, but that's not even true, though. I just didn't listen to you guys.
Fair.
But no, I would. If you're coming up, I would suggest listening back to key parts or things that you did, like where you gave a really good, you know, opinion on something that was longer than usual. You can go back and get your timing down and things of that nature. Different stuff like that. But anyway, it's good to be back. Episode 247 of the DWI podcast.
Yay! Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Got the thumbs up from, nailed it. From the scientist.
Well, it's Friday. We got a lot of good TV watching ahead of us, apparently. And, well, let's start drinking. It's the weekend, so what you drinking?
Drink it in, man.
Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk.
Hey.
Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time.
It just sounded loud still. I don't know.
No.
I don't know how. Not. I pulled a plaid on you. It didn't come in quick enough.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Phrasing.
Hey, phrasing!
Horrible. Well, DP, the Brewers are officially out of the playoffs. The season is over. I guess they extended their years of making the playoffs, which is the only good thing. Although they would have got a top 10 pick if they didn't make the playoffs, so I kind of wish they would not have.
Right.
But anyway, cheers to them. I got a Bell's Two Hearted. I also had Lakefront IPA the other day, the one with the big eye on it. So, DP, what are you or what will you be drinking?
What will I be drinking, I guess? Because right now I'm just drinking some more of that glass bottle Coke that I picked up a couple weeks ago. But I do have some Point Drop Dead Blonde sitting in the fridge waiting to have a little bit later, along with some River West Steins. So.
Correct?
That is, yeah. That's yeah, it's really good.
Good one.
So that's waiting for me here probably in a couple hours. Or maybe when trivia starts, we'll see.
Trivia.
Usually starts with the trivia.
Oh man, we gotta hurry up with these first couple things. Go ahead, AJ, what are you drinking?
Well, I know I said it last week that I'd be drinking down the entire Jim Beam, but I still got a little bit left. I have a glass of this, along with, you'll probably see it on Pod is War, the Valenzano wine that Andrew likes drinking. I have a glass of that with me, too. So we're mixing up a little sweet and a little bit of bitter.
Fill me up that whiskey and wine.
All right, folks. Yeah. Well, that's what we're drinking this week. Let's let you know what we're talking about this week on the podcast known as DWI.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
And something we know Tony missed last week.
Sheet.
Wow, let me tell you. Absence did not make the heart grow fonder. Let me tell you that right now.
At least it healed up the ears, maybe.
Yeah, great to be back, guys. Great to be back. Okay, this week on the DWI podcast, we're going to give some final thoughts on the Clash of Champions pay-per-view. We're going to look ahead and preview the matches that we're going to have NXT TakeOver 31. We're going to get the trivia. We're going to get back to trivia. Or do you guys have trivia last week?
We did.
Of course we did.
Dan won the trivia this week.
Oh,
or last week, sorry.
So the guest finally didn't win.
He was
finally.
It was less of a guest, though. He was more of a co-host, though.
He was
right?
A co-host. It was part of the Attitude of Aggression, but...
And if you listened in, he actually said he wanted to be on that week, so it's a good thing that you said you had softball.
Well, he was going to come on either way, but yeah. Anyway, no big deal. We'll get back to DWI, blame it on the alcohol fantasy football challenge here, and boy... The standings have changed since we've talked 2 weeks ago, folks. Let me tell you, there may be some Barry Horowitz in my future. And a last call, it's going to cover some AEW and some NWA. DPP, don't shake your head. Just ring the bell. I've seen that.
Do what I won't.
They can't Horowitz. See you, but I can see you. All right, what... I want everybody to do right now is, including you guys, is go on your computer or your phone and go to your little website finder, whatever you use, and I want you to put in whatever your browser is. I just want you to put in Clash of Champions 2020 space cagematch.net, all one word.
Okay. This should be interesting.
And I want you to hit the link that goes to the results portion of their website for this pay-per-view. Now, those of you who do not know, cagematch.net pretty much has the information on almost every single wrestler and every single pay-per-view and every single federation almost ever. Like, if it happened, it's probably on there. If it's not on there, it's a mirage. It didn't happen. But, I mean, what I'm trying to say is there's a ton of great information on there, great reference points. I've used it a lot in interviewing people from around the country that I had never met before, never heard of before, but I could find their little indie results. Not that their stuff is little, but you know what I'm saying, the smaller scope of wrestling to find different information. But I also like to use it today as a tool on showing people what wrestling fans think of matches, another way to look at stuff, because... people will actually go on here. I think you can go on here and vote or something like that, and you can see their ratings and the pay-per-views, and you can go back and see how their pay-per-views are rated. So let's run this down. This pay-per-view got a 6.0, which is actually pretty good. If you go back and look at the history of all the pay-per-views, you get up into like the 7.5, 8s. That's when you're getting to your really good WrestleManias and your King of the Ring 2001s and things of that nature. Okay, 6.7 is pretty good. That's like a B plus almost here on the curve. And it's mainly because it has really good matches. So right away, the card opens up with the match we're all looking forward to, right, Jeff? AJ Styles and Sami Zayn. I know you guys both watched the pay-per-view. What did you guys think of that match? Did that match meet expectations? Would you give that match an 8.63 that it got based on the 163 votes that it says right there?
I would have probably given it close to an 8, maybe. Definitely not, not as high as they gave it, but I thought it was a pretty solid match. I mean, it closely lived up to expectations. I think it ended up kind of turning out the way we thought it was going to with all of our picks from last week. With Sami Zayn coming up with some shenanigans to win, I thought they did a really good job with how he kind of, usually when they bring out the handcuffs, it's always really like, oh boy, here we go. But they got a little creative with it, which was kind of cool. And I thought they did a really good job with this match.
Yeah, if you want to go to our site, The Chair Shot, I actually reviewed Clash of Champions for Sunday, and I actually really loved the match. Sammy, like we all said, he gets the shenanigans win. It was different. I liked it because he did something different with the handcuffs, where it was he tied himself to AJ, so AJ couldn't go up to grab the titles unless he brought Sammy with him, and then Sammy takes the key out, unlocks himself. It was an amazing match. Like I said, the only thing was, it was like, was it a title defense? Screw it. Sami Zayn is now Intercontinental Champion, and I know for SmackDown this Friday, Jeff Hardy's doing his rematch clause, so that should be a good match too. Maybe more shenanigans, who knows? But no, I think it deserved the rating that it got.
I was trying to think of some bad Santa Claus rematch clause joke, but I had a couple different ones that I was going to do, but I decided just to not even do it and tell you that I was thinking about Christmas, which, it's less than 3 months, folks. Better get shopping done.
Right. Don't try and pre-order that PlayStation 5 because you ain't getting it.
There you go. Oh, that's too bad.
Watch me.
You just have to wait. Oh, there you go. Challenge. Ooh. Accepted.
Challenge accepted. I'll bring out my suit and everything.
Ooh.
Dye my hair blonde.
I'm glad the right guy won that match because I think Sami Zayn can be a really good heel IC champion. I mean, he is really over as a heel right now in my mind, and there's not even really a crowd. Could you imagine how over he would be right now with a crowd? I mean, that would be ridiculous. So hopefully he can hang on to that belt for a while. Hopefully we'll see a crowd sooner than later. I'm just scrolling down the other matches. Asuka beat Zelina. Lashley defeated Bobby Apollo Crews. The Street Profits, they defended the titles. So that was three matches that didn't even get a 5 rating on here out of 10. And then Asuka beat Bayley by DQ, so that really didn't even count. And now we get to the last two matches, the two title matches. A 6.75 for Orton and McIntyre. What did you guys think of that one with all the legends showing up there?
I mean, I thought it was good. Again, if you look at my review, I made a joke saying it was like Ebenezer Scrooge getting visited by multiple ghosts because it's basically what happened. He gets the advantage over Drew, and then I don't know where Big Show comes out and pulls him off. All right, he gets the advantage again, and they go into the backstage area. Christian decides to beat him up in catering because we couldn't have Paul Heyman eating in catering again like Money in the Bank. And then Shawn Michaels super kicking him and pushing him off the ambulance. I liked it. It was just really weird where I'm just thinking, Drew really has no idea that people are just randomly beating the shit out of Randy when he's just, I get that he's down and he doesn't see it or he's like unconscious or trying to collect himself, but really? Just randomly, Randy's out on the floor, and you hear a big crash because Sean pushed him off of the ambulance through tables. Or he got thrown into a table himself through, like, a bunch of food and silver platters. So, like, really? You didn't see that? Okay.
Yeah, he had to kind of suspend a little bit of that disbelief there on this one. And, yeah, like, Big Show's not hard to see when he comes walking off to ringside or something, you know. But, you know, I thought it was, they got creative with it like they did with the ladder match. You know, it was, they added some different things to this. And, you know, I thought it was cool. It certainly gives Randy Orton the out as to why he lost and everything. Like, so you have to kind of, yeah, like Drew McIntyre, obviously, you know, it's hard to get that belief like, oh, yeah, I won it on my own. Ha ha ha, you know, obviously. You know, he had help, and he knows it, but it gives us the opportunity to have the final match at Hell in the Cell here, because that's obviously where they're going with it. But, I mean, as far as the match goes, I thought it was kind of cool to see them come back. I kind of predicted that, you know, if Edge was healthy, he would have been the one to interfere in that match. When they opened the ambulance, he'd be standing in there or something and, you know, spear Randy Orton, but we didn't get him, we got everybody else. So, you know, kind of cool. I'm probably right on with that rating. I probably would have given it 6.5 to 7, somewhere like that, because I did think it was a really good match and creative, but, you know, I was really hoping Randy Orton would win, unfortunately.
Same. So,
but oh well.
Well, it looks like we're still going to get Randy Orton again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're really, really dragging this one out. I mean, you could totally see what it was going to be. Orton and McIntyre in the Hell in a Cell, and likely Bayley and Sasha in Hell in a Cell.
That's what it's looking like, yeah. Well,
nope. Unless, because I believe, not this week, next week is the WWE draft starting on SmackDown. So they might do our little ploy of Sasha gets shipped off to Raw or something.
Well, that's right before Hell in the Cell.
This is what I've seen on the dirtiest of the sheet.
Is that like Big Show eating Eddie's burritos from years ago? Is that what the dirtiest sheets are?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? The skit where Eddie's cousin or nephew gave Big Show a bunch of burritos and they were filled with laxatives? You don't remember that?
Nobody remembers what you're talking about.
Wow.
This just happened in your
I'm
head.
The youngest one here, and I feel old.
Not true. Nobody knows what you're talking
DP?
About.
DP? Nothing?
It's because your brain works better than ours now.
You're making things up.
Fine. I'll just drink more wine then.
You'll forget all
I'm
about
kidding.
It. Drink more.
We're no-selling you, you son of a bitch. Go ahead. Yeah. Just
I'm aware.
Well, all right. So... We're gonna have more time. We're gonna have more episodes to talk about Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. It seems to be. Did you just think the Roman Reigns Jey Uso match was better? Would you have rated that higher or the Triple Threat IC match? Just to start the conversation on this championship match.
I probably would have rated the Triple Threat match.
I would have stayed the ladder match.
Yeah, me too. Did as well.
And that's kind of what happened here. I'm guessing what happened on your ratings at the chair shot. And if you're looking for a review and ratings and a better idea of what happened during these matches, definitely go to thechairshot.com. I just brought up cagematch.net if you're looking for some old results and things of that nature and just a different way to look at stuff, which has always been a fun favorite site of mine to go back and find those obscure kind of things, but always head on over to thechairshot.com. Check out the results and ratings over there as well. How do you like the storyline, the way they told this story during this match, DP? Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, blood, cousins. I mean, his brother comes out, throws in the towel.
I definitely like the way they ended that. You know, when we talked about the match, I was on board if it would end up being like a squash match, kind of like Lesnar. But I like what they did here. They gave, you know, Uso, made it look like he had a chance. You know, he had a lot of fight in him and everything, which was awesome. And Roman Reigns just kind of, you know, ultimately just overpowered him, you know, showing off the whole, I was always the best one in the family and everything. And I'm the head of the table and all that. So that was, they did a really good job with that. And finally, you know, him taking out Uso and then his brother coming down and doing that whole bit and getting involved, obviously, is lead, you know, leads it to more things into this battle that obviously is not over. I still do hope that they end up joining forces at some point, you know, as he's the head of the table and they do it. But boy, it sure didn't seem like it after this one, because he just beat the ever living crap out of Jey Uso at the end. So I don't know if that's going to actually happen. I know we heard rumors of new entrance music and new ring gear. It looks like he just took off the vest and kept the ring or kept the same music. So we'll see if that continues to change, which would, I think, would still be pretty cool if they did a little more to him. I definitely like the look a little better. He doesn't need that stupid freaking vest on anymore. I think he looks better this way as far as the character, as his character goes. So I thought it was actually really good. I definitely probably would have rated it somewhere near the 8 range, probably. But I really like what they're doing with the storyline. I think it's really, really cool. I love seeing where this thing is going.
Yeah, I absolutely love the storytelling, because, I mean, we knew that there would be like a 0.1 millionth% chance that the Uso was going to win. I'm pretty sure it was Jey, because they on commentary had said Jimmy like 5 different times from Corey. So I'm just like, I don't even remember which Uso it was. And I apologize for that, but Jey Uso. All right. But again, like, I love the storytelling where it was just Roman was beating him down saying, "Tell me I'm the tribal chief, I'm the head of the table and all that. Just do this and it's all done. Everything's going to be all right if you just admit I'm better." And the thing that really got me, that really got a pop out of me, was Charles Robinson trying to check on Jey. And it was just like, what are you doing? This is family business. Get out of here before I make you get fired. And then the second time when he's ground and pounding him, it's like, he's fine. I've been doing this to him his entire life. Come on, he's fine. So that definitely got a rise out of me. That was funny as hell. But the storytelling was great. Hopefully the Usos will see, like, all right, he is the head of the table, he is the tribal chief, we're gonna follow him. And then, you know, we get the Samoan SWAT badass family team, whatever we want to call it. But nah, that was done beautifully and I loved it so much.
So I would imagine that you guys would agree with me when I would say that Roman Reigns is likely staying on Fox on SmackDown, and Drew McIntyre is likely staying on USA on Raw, right? Because the draft is happening not this coming, a week from today. And the following Monday,
correct? Yeah, next Friday. Starts on SmackDown.
The ninth. Okay, so who do you guys want to see come over and be a new challenger to Roman Reigns to have a little bit of a storyline? Because there's going to be one storyline, and then there's going to be the WrestleMania storyline, whatever that's going to be, depending on whether or not they can get the Rock. So what do you want to see happen now? Because, you know, he doesn't necessarily even have an opponent for Hell in a Cell. I could see a handicap match, both of them against him, and he beats them. But then someone's got to come over. I don't see who else. What are they going to do again? They're going to do Roman and Fiend again? They're going to do Roman and Braun again? Who else is on SmackDown that they could bring? You know, my thing is, I think Keith Lee comes over to SmackDown. You could see Roman and Keith Lee. That would be kind of interesting. What do you guys thought?
Yeah. Keith Lee, I think, was the first one that came to mind, you know, when they did the whole NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series. It was Roman Reigns and Keith Lee standing in the ring together at the end. So they could definitely revisit that and have a couple good matches there. And, you know, right now it's, I think the main title picture is more open on SmackDown for someone like Keith Lee to get involved there, because they obviously have, you know, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, and some of these other guys that are probably going to be involved in the title match, you know, the title picture for a while. So I could see, you know, a guy like Keith Lee moving over there, and maybe they take AJ, now that Paul Heyman's not running Raw, put AJ Styles back on Raw, and maybe have him go at, you know, Drew McIntyre for a little bit too.
Yeah,
AJ versus Drew. Where have I heard that before? Anyway, that's not a bad idea. I would like to see that. And also maybe Keith Lee going over to SmackDown to face Roman. I'm still on board with the whole Bayley dodges a bullet off of Sasha by Sasha going to Raw. And I know we keep hammering it in. It's like she wins at the Royal Rumble and challenges Bayley, but that's actually really good storytelling that we really haven't seen from WWE in a while. So I would love to see that.
I'm not disappointed in the women's division in WWE because, frankly, it's one of the best. It's probably the best women's division in the world, easily, if you just combine. If you combine the talent on, and it's kind of an unfair advantage if you include NXT, but I would say even if you say Raw and SmackDown combined, that's the best collection of talent. You might get bored and feel the storylines get stale and it's retreaded kind of matchups, but I'm not alone. I think I'm fairly confident I'm not alone when we're all like, well, when do we get Becky and Charlotte back?
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, you can tell on Raw for sure that it's been hurting them.
Oh yeah, I mean, Zelina Vega of all people to face Asuka.
Yeah,
I was writing the review and I already put down Zelina Vega versus Asuka champion for the Raw Women's Championship, and I already put dash Asuka wins via Asuka lock. All right, let's start this match.
If it's Carmella is the blonde in the skits on SmackDown, right? And that's on SmackDown. Okay. And then I don't know when, because Becky obviously is not going to be back until probably next year summer at the earliest. If she even decides to come back that quickly at all, that's an 8 month turnaround on giving birth. Charlotte set to come back. Was it Royal Rumble time? I don't know everything that she had done right away.
Yeah, I don't know the time frame. I thought it was the end of this year at some point, so I kind of just assumed they were going to hold her off until Royal Rumble, even if she's ready to come back a little earlier.
Yeah, got to give the shock and all. I don't know either where at the time frame, because what was it? She had to get surgery on her shoulder or something like that? I don't really remember off the top of my head.
And yeah. I thought something with the implants she was getting done again to because she had the problems with them before. I don't know. I just all things I heard. Go ahead, DP.
No. I was just going to agree with that. It was a shoulder surgery that she had. And I think you're right with the implant thing because I know she was having some issues. So I think they were getting one of them fixed.
Yeah, because I remember on the dirtiest of sheets, as we like to call it, I think I saw like the last time that she had implants fixed or done or whatever, they got infected or something like that, or they like leaked in the bag or whatever. I don't know, but it might be another reason why she's not in. But I heard shoulder surgery as well.
Do you think it is? Where does Tessa end up going? Where is she right now? I know she did a couple of very minor independent things, apparently, that now that she was able to wrestle again. But any chance of her coming to WWE? I don't know. I see her ended up in AEW, maybe.
AEW is probably a really good bet. I don't really see her in WWE because all the rumors that we hear backstage where she's really difficult to deal with or she is just very stubborn in her own way, I don't think WWE is going to want that. But hey, never say never. I mean, AEW is probably going to do a real big pitch for her, but she might end up in WWE. Who knows?
It seems like for the most part, as far as the women go, I guess I would, they're a lot more, go through the NXT, build them up kind of thing, as opposed to picking up, already kind of set stars in other places. At least to me, it seems like they do that a lot for the women, at least for the women's division. So I obviously wouldn't be surprised to see her on WWE, but I like AEW for her for sure, just because I really want AEW's women's division to start to take off, and it's been pretty lackluster. So,
speaking of NXT to WWE and things of that nature, it looks like Tegan Knox again with the knee injury once again.
Yeah, ACL.
Third ACL tear. Oh, poor woman. Oh, my God.
No more No bueno. Oh. All right, folks, before we get on and start talking about NXT TakeOver 31, let's take a brief pause for that call.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your...
And while you're closing that link to cagematch.net and switching over to thechairshot.com, open up another window and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. What are you guys laughing at?
You abruptly cut off, Chris, during the commercial.
I don't know if it was just the way the recording came through, but it like right, it was always
use over. Your go over to Pro Wrestling Tees.
No, it was fine. It sounded good.
Okay. Here.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your
go over to prowrestlingtees.com. That time I did it on purpose.
I knew it.
Go over to prowrestlingtees.com /thechairshot. Pick up your very own chair shot t-shirt. There's one for everybody, one for anyone. You're going to put stuffing in their stocker. Nicely, look, you guys got me fucked up. Stuffing their stockings.
Stuff your own stockings.
Oh, man. Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. NXT TakeOver number 31 this weekend. Let's start right here. Kushida, Velveteen Dream. I'm looking forward to this match. I think this match is going to be really good. I'm interested to see if the winner of this match is going to be a contender for the North American title or maybe even for the world title in NXT.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird because I do like – I'm kind of hoping Kushida comes out on this one because seeing him go after the North American title or get involved at least in a title picture would be pretty awesome. And I know it's – I don't know if it's just everything that happened with Velveteen Dream, you know, a couple months ago and everything, you know, and him trying to come back here. I think they had other plans for him probably, and now he's getting kind of tossed back into these other oddball storylines where I don't see him – I don't want to see him going back for the North American title, you know, possibly a chance at the NXT title again. I kind of feel like they were maybe ready to move him up to the main roster and then everything happened and it was like, oh, shit, maybe, you know, I don't think we can really do that just yet. So, you know, he's kind of stuck in between here right now. So it's kind of a weird feud that they kind of threw it in here, you know, with Kushida just because of some, you know, the random attacks he did TakeOver 30. So I think it's going to be a really good match. Don't get me wrong. I kind of hope Kushida comes out on top because I'd like to see him get some love in some title matches.
Well, yeah, and Andrew, as I kick it over to you, I kind of DP. It's kind of what I was meaning is, if Kushida comes over here, then oh, sorry, I called you Andrew because it's right underneath your face.
24 it years. It's right still has face. Not changed.
It's been a while since I did that.
Yeah,
it has.
I was off for a week, so yeah.
Gotta get back in the groove.
AJ, before you get going, AJ, before you become so phenomenal and funky and fresh while you're doing so, uh-huh. I just wanted to say that DP was kind of accentuating my point in the fact, and if you agree with me or not here, that Kushida going over here, which I hope does happen, I agree with DP, would mean him in the North American title picture. But Dream going over here would more likely mean him being in the NXT title picture because he's kind of been there, done that. That's kind of where I see, like, DP, maybe Velveteen Dream's getting people over right now as he's building his character back up and coming back. I like the style of this matchup, AJ. AJ, I like the style of this matchup, AJ. I like the style of this matchup, AJ. What are your thoughts, AJ, on this matchup, AJ?
Well, first off, flattery gets you nowhere. but no, I do like the match between the two competitors. I think we're all in agreement. Kushida hopefully wins because I still think there's a bunch of backlash for Velveteen Dream on the worldwide interwebs, where people still don't like him and everything. Kind of going with DP's entire analysis of with Velveteen Dream potentially going up. As the song goes, clowns to the left, jokers to the right, stuck in the middle. But yeah, I hope Kushida wins. It should be a really good match, but it might be for the NXT championship. It might be for the North American championship, because who exactly is the North American champion? God, I'm not drunk enough. he's facing Gargano, so he's Damian kind Priest? Of in that. Damian Priest is facing Gargano, and Gargano is full on heel. So Priest is tweener, but he's leaning towards face more since he's facing Gargano. So I could see maybe Velveteen facing him. I could also see Kushida facing him and actually proving a challenge to Priest. So again, either or would be great. I don't think Finn has to face either of them at the moment. Maybe down the line, but not at the moment, if this is going to be a number one contenders match later on. But no, it should be a great match.
To me, Kushida and Priest is the direction I would like to see them go. I got Priest going over Gargano. This is another match here on this card. I like this matchup because I think Gargano's going to make Priest look like $1 million, and that's why he's there. Gargano has no business winning this title whatsoever. He's just there to further Priest and make him look like William. Not that, but like I said, these two guys, it's an interesting dynamic. I think it's going to be another great match. It feels like an old-school NXT card where these matches are all just going to be stupid, ridiculously good. But what are your thoughts on this North American title match, AJ, as I kick it right back to you?
Again, another great match. Would I say the match of the night? It's up there, because Priest has actually shown that he can do a lot more. And Gargano, come on, we've all seen what Gargano can do. He can wrestle a mop and it would be a good match. So I see Priest coming out on top, Gargano giving him the rub, like, hey, you beat like an NXT North American tag team champion and whatnot. So I can see the rub given to Priest, but I never say never, but I have Priest winning about 95% in this match.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat there. I don't think this is the time to take it off Priest. I think this is the chance to, yeah, just really solidify how good he really is. And like you said, Johnny Gargano will make him look like $1 million. I do like the idea of Gargano and Candice LeRae both coming out with titles and, you know, just running NXT and being all like, we're the fucking best, you know, couple team that, you know, ever was in NXT. You know, they could really run with that thing and be even more over his heels, but I just don't, boy, I think it's a minimal chance that that happens. Cause if one of them wins it, they both have to win. And I just don't see Candice LeRae coming out with it. So I'm on board with Damian Priest. I really like this. And, you know, like you said, PC, the whole card looks like it's old school takeover where every match could outshine the next. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
Before we get to Candice, go ahead.
I was going to say, but hey, if Candice and Johnny come out on top and they say they're the best wrestling couple, you could either hear the Miz's theme or maybe even King of Kings coming out. You know, like...
But before we get to Candice LeRae's chance at becoming, so glad I let you go, NXT Women's Champion. Let's talk about Santos Escobar defending that Cruiserweight title against Isaiah Swerve Scott. Is this the time we change this belt over, or do we see a different challenger on the forefront for Escobar? Because I don't see this matchup going any further than the match this weekend.
I don't see a reason to take it off Escobar at this time. You know, they got a good little faction that he's got going there, and man, I'm happy that they're starting to put these Cruiserweight title matches on takeovers and, you know, more in the NXT universe rather than on their own, so, or on, even on the main roster. So I'm really happy, and I'm looking forward to what they can do given, you know, the extra time that you get on NXT takeover matches. So it could be really, really good. But I don't think so. I think we keep it with Escobar and let that faction build even more. And, you know, until we get some, you know, maybe somebody returning or somebody big that can, you know, take that title and make it meaningful.
I know that we were talking about old school takeovers where one match can outshine the other, but how about for this match we get a little bit of old school wrestling where Swerve comes up with, well, a swerve and actually wins it, like via roll up or miscommunication between Legado del Fantasma. I'm more surprised that I actually said that correctly, but I can't say any other word correctly.
Legado del Fantasma.
I'm like Tunney on the one episode of Potter's War when he spoke perfect Spanish while drunk as hell.
You can see I didn't even try. I'm not even going to try.
But I actually see Swerve getting like a cheeky win off of Escobar and actually winning the Cruiserweight title. I can see they give him a little bit of a push, a little bit of like a, yeah, you deserve this, but we're going to go with like a bigger story where it's like, hey, you've been tagging along with Breezango for a little bit, making sure that, you know, they don't lose their tag titles, or you've been buddy-buddy with them, so maybe the next takeover we have winner take all with a six-man tag match.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Like a mini War Games or a mini cage match for it or something like that. I really like that. I really hope... I want so much more for Swerve. You know what they should do is for Halloween, they should have Vince walk out with the 24/7 title and the Cruiserweight title and both put them in this vat that this witch is brewing. And then, like, that happens on Monday, the day after Halloween, or 2 days after Halloween. I think Halloween's on a Thursday or Friday or whatever.
It's on a Saturday.
Or if it's on a Friday, I think. Okay, it's on a Saturday. So Friday night on SmackDown, Vince takes the 24/7 title and the Cruiserweight title, and he walks out to this vat that this witch's brew is doing up, you know, just for Halloween on SmackDown, and he's like, neither are doing anything for me, you know. He throws him in there.
And then Scroll, Monday, we're going to bring Raw back the European Championship.
What comes out? What do we get? We get a WWE TV title, which is defended on all three shows, no matter what the weight class. And it's the best of both worlds. Ring the fucking bell.
That's
good. Come on, that's good. That's good shit, pal.
The Witch's Brew sounds right up Vince's alley.
It does.
But you know what's going to
R-Truth versus the Cruiserweight Champion, yeah, for the TV title. Such good shit.
Think about it though. If you took the 24/7 title and combined it with Cruiserweight title, that's kind of what you get, is these great fast matches or these really quick storylines, and it's a thing, something that could be go across all brands, and you can kind of test different matchups and bring different people to different shows where different networks have them. I don't know, it feels like a better idea to me than, you know, R-Truth can go out and get in good storylines and have great matches. They don't need the 24/7 title. Akira Tozawa can, you know, be a guy who defends an actual TV title instead of doing Raw Underground and having a 24/7 title and having the 205 Live or whatever the fuck they used to do. Put the TV title back out there. You have three brands that you can stretch talent across and have storylines interject and come up with better stuff. I don't know. It just makes too much sense to me.
I really think it does. I would at least like to, you know, I'd like to see, you know, more than just the Cruiserweight title be, you know, defended here on NXT or anything like that. Like, if they could do it across all the brands, I think that makes a lot more sense. Making it a TV title.
And that's why I go to the TV title and get rid of the whole Cruiserweight nomination thing, right?
So anybody can
get rid of the 24/7 thing, because that's another more time for it. But I'm saying the 205 Live, I mean the 205 Cruiserweight title, the most sense for that place to be is on Raw, because it's 3 hours, and it was worse there than it is on NXT now. Sorry, that was my only interjection.
No, because I was going to bring up, like, I would love to see, you know, Cedric Alexander coming out and taking the Cruiserweight title, because that's something he could end up taking and, you know, solidifying his position in this, now that he's part of this Hurt Business faction. You know, him winning a title, something like that, you know, where that he fits into would be perfect. and just be, you know, something that I think they could really do and, you know, bring it back to a more mainstream title defending, you know, one on a main roster rather than it getting lost in some cases.
Cedric hasn't seen 205 since high school, man.
Hey, he wrestled at the Cruiserweight Classic.
Here's the other thing. They say Adam Cole is 6 feet tall, so...
Yeah, okay.
So is Tom Cruise.
Exactly.
Marco Stunt and Adam Cole, I think, are about the same height.
No, Marco. Baby. God.
I'm just kidding.
I do like the TV idea, the TV title idea. The Witch's Brew sounds like something very Vince-like. Instead of the gobbledygooker, we get like.
No, Wendy, that's who would pop out. That's who would pop out of that goddamn brew. Would be gobbledygooker, for God's sakes. Or Brother Love.
But we're almost at Thanksgiving.
Let's go.
I love you.
Sorry.
Well done, DP. Let's get to the last two title matches. Io Shirai defending against Candice LeRae. AJ. This is what you're envisioning. This would be your coup de grace here, as we'll get to that shortly. But you want the Gargano family title power trip?
I don't want the Gargano family power trip. I still think Damian's going to win. But I feel like Gargano at the end of the match is going to distract Io for Candice to win. Because I'm not saying Io is a bad champion at all, because she's been great with the championship. I feel like they're going to go with the whole Johnny's going to support his wife and then she's going to be like the greatest thing on the women's division because of Gargano.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't hate to see that. I think Candice LeRae, like I said, LeRae and Gargano winning titles would be great, and they would be so over his heels with how badly they would, you know, tout that they're the champions or whatever. So the biggest reason I see Candice LeRae winning this thing would be if they want to move Io Shirai up to the main roster quickly, because they need that talent on Raw. Kind of like we mentioned, you know, Becky Lynch and Charlotte being gone, we're missing a little bit, but I know they brought in Retribution and they have Mia Yim. And I can't remember the other woman that they brought up.
Mercedes Martinez.
Thank you. You know, to maybe start getting in the women's division and wrestling, you know, a little more, and that might help a bit. But, you know, they may be looking at, you know, what else can we do in this meantime, because they got a little bit of, you know, they got time that they need to fill here. So I could see them bringing someone like Io Shirai up if they wanted to help fill that void, because she is damn good, and would be her versus Asuka or anything would be pretty awesome to watch. So could see it happening.
But how about doing the flip side happening and Io Shirai retains because they're going to bring up Gargano and Candice LeRae?
Also, pretty plausible reasoning right there.
They could do that too, and that's again a good power couple. You get two great talents moving up right away. Then,
if you think about the draft being on the heels of this, basically less than a week from it starts, less than a week from when this is going to happen, this show is parts of this show. Some of these matches are direct. The results are directly because of what they're planning on doing at the draft. Somebody on this pay per view tonight, fighting for a title or having a match, could be coming up and drafted and no longer be on NXT anymore. Like, could we finally see Velveteen Dream get some new scenery, right, and come up to the main roster? That could be something. Something to Swerve finally come up. Does Santos lose and Del Fantasma come up to the main roster? Could we see that happening? Them join Lucha House Party and they become the LWO. What if that happens? Ring the fucking bell there. No, you don't like it.
Look at AJ. I'm more proud of the WCW reference.
Well, I mean,
but I have a question for you guys then. What if someone gets drafted to NXT from Raw or SmackDown? Who would you see being a possibility of that?
So I like that question, and I'll answer your question. But at the same time, is that even possible? Because I think the draft picks are only for Raw and SmackDown. I don't think NXT has draft picks.
You never know how they're going to do it. Because remember the original draft when John Dean Ambrose Moxley was the WWE champion when they originally did it like 4 years ago.
Johnny Dean's breakfast sausage.
But
they got a lot of moxie.
But remember, Raw picked Finn as like the fifth overall draft pick when he was still in NXT.
Right, because NXT is the developmental system for the main roster, which is Raw and SmackDown. And if the draft continues as it has as such, Raw and SmackDown draft from each other's roster and NXT, because NXT is a developmental feeding territory into the WWE main roster. That is still the kayfabe way of looking at the structure in WWE, if you ask. I don't know. Do you guys agree or disagree with that?
No, it's fair, but I like the little wrench where it's like maybe NXT has like one or two draft picks where they're like, yeah, we want to bring AJ Styles down to NXT. I'm just throwing a hypothetical. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
How about instead, I would make it a little bit, I'd go down a different path. So Friday, October 9th, it starts, right? And SmackDown happens, and then Raw happens, and the draft is over. Well, then that following Wednesday, compensatory picks, depending on how many people got drafted from each side, and they go, okay, well, you get, you know, half the amount or something like that, or, you know, this many was this way, so you get to pick one from SmackDown and two from Raw to come down to NXT, like as compensatory picks post-draft. I can see that happening.
I see that as a possibility because I don't see NXT getting any picks necessarily, but I like the idea of, okay, after the draft's over, these are all the people that got drafted. Then the rest are basically free agents, and NXT can go out and say, okay, I want to draft, I'm going to take you and you and you. You're coming down to NXT or whatever, and then the rest, you know. And in that pool, you know, there's free agents can go, you know, SmackDown, Raw, or NXT. I like it.
Just a hypothetical.
Gentlemen, any chance Kyle O'Reilly comes away the new NXT champion over Finn Balor here? I would say slim to none, and slim just left town. And I enjoy the work of one Kyle O'Reilly.
Because there's no chance in hell.
My answer is going to be another question. Did the Jets win yesterday?
Oh, play that again, DP.
Because there's no chance in hell.
No! No! No!
I think the more important question is that the Jets just played on Thursday night, and they don't play again until a week from Sunday. Why don't they get rid of Adam Gase now? They have extra time this week. It doesn't make sense why he's their football coach or anyone's football coach at the moment. They had 11 penalties for 118 yards. They're 0-4. They lost to the Broncos, who were on their fourth-string quarterback, who threw three interceptions last year. Like, it doesn't get any worse than that.
And if you want more sports news, go check out the three-man weave on thechairshot.com.
I couldn't help it, but that's all true stuff I just said. Those aren't opinions. Those are facts.
No, so. I know. Those are cold, hard, phenomenal, funky facts.
Hey, I'll give you something to cry about, you loser. You can't catch a football? Let's see if you can catch a rock.
Which are very reminiscent.
All right, Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor, AJ Blast, go.
I think this is going to be the match of the night because Kyle O'Reilly can go. He can. Thank you for the bell.
Word.
He can go. He can wrestle, especially with someone like Finn, where both of them kind of have that Japanese style. Both of them have wrestled in Japan, so that they know how to, like, and I'm going to say no homo on this. They're feeling each other out more with the whole, like, Japanese style, where it could be catch-as-catch-can, it could be a little more fast pace, it could be very back and forth with, like, strong style or anything like that. But I feel like this is going to be a great match just because of the two people involved. It's not even for the NXT Championship where I think this is going to be a good match. It's because it's Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a ridiculously awesome match. I'm really looking forward to it. I know we touched on it very briefly last week, just on hitting the title matches, just because they were, you know, they were so different, I guess. You know, they, you know, you wouldn't,
I guess in a sense, you wouldn't think they'd put Kyle O'Reilly in an NXT title match, you know, but they did. And I think he does deserve it because he is really good as a singles wrestler. He just hasn't got the chance to show it off. And now he has that opportunity to show off exactly what he can do, and doing it against a guy like Finn Balor, who he knows very well and can just as well go and make you look like $1 million in the same run. And I give Kyle O'Reilly a little bit more of a chance than I did Jey Uso in winning the title, but it's very,
so
very
from
slim.
1 millionth to 100 trillion.
Yeah, very, very slimly higher. So I don't see it happening, but I am really excited that they're giving him this opportunity, because I think he's going to be able to show off everything he can do as a singles wrestler, where he hasn't been so much because he's been in the tag team, which is fine too. And again, I'm still hoping that this is the last we see of the Undisputed Era on the NXT roster, because I do want them to come up, and maybe with the draft coming, this happens. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with this. And I think it's just going to be another one of these Finn Balor matches where he makes you look like $1 million, but still wins like he's been doing, because he's got plenty of other challengers right out there with, you know, they had that gauntlet match, you know, any of those guys could have challenged for the title. You know, Thatcher could be another awesome match. And, you know, we talked about Kushida, you know, whether he goes for the North American or NXT title, if he does win, you know, Cameron Grimes, Bronson Reed were all in that match. So I think they could, you know, again, put on a great match with Finn Balor. So I agree that this is, hey, man, it's going to be 1 to 5, you know, top this match, and they're going to top it at one after another. And this is going to end the show with just an outstanding match with Finn Balor holding on the title.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching this card Saturday night. Over under, around the horn real quick, over or under 1.5 title changes out of the 4 title matches, DP?
Under.
AJ?
I'm going to say over.
Over? I also have over. I got 2 title changes. You got 2 title changes?
Dose.
I don't even have one.
DP, what's your one title change?
I got 0 title changes. If any title changes, I think it's the cruiserweight title, but I think it's 0.
I got the cruiserweight title and the women's title changing hands. AJ?
Same. The women's and the cruiserweight. The cute little story with Swerve and the Candice gets the win because of Johnny.
Everybody's got Kushida.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
As I relax in my gaming reclining chair, and I assume that it's trivia time due to the fact that Tony needed a refill, it's Phenomenal Funky Facts.
That's total BS.
And it begins.
Like I said, I could hear you the way from New Jersey from last week. You weren't even here, and I heard you all the way from here. So, DP, you won. Tony, you weren't even here. And I'll be nice, and I'll give you the first pick.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I appreciate that. Alex, what is door number 2?
Door number dose.
Those all sorts of wrong. All of them together.
Yeah, no, not at all.
No whammy. Stop.
Well, it's the opinion question. And it's a football question, because I know for a fact we're going to be doing our Blame It on the Alcohol draft picks later, but...
Touchdown. What is a touchdown?
I don't know. Ask the Falcons.
Butt fumble.
What is a butt fumble?
No. This one's going to be a little... this one's going to be Price is Right rules. Wow. Let's see if you guys can get it. What NFL team has the worst win-loss percentage? The bonus is going to be the Price is Right rules, where I'll ask, what's the percentage?
Wait, what do you mean? I don't... For
who
what?
Has the worst win-loss percentage in their entire franchise.
Oh, okay.
And then the second point is going to be what's the percentage.
Whoa, baby. All right. The percentage. Okay. Oh, man. That's a tough one.
They're under 500.
Franchise history.
Yeah.
I will say this. No, as like a franchise in whole, I will say this as a hint. Right now, they're not under 500 right now. But overall, yeah, their percentage is the drizzling shits.
Oh, man. I shot in the dark. I don't even know who's over 500 right now. Let me fix this letter.
We got the shot in the dark from DP. We got Tunney finishing up. What is that, the Browns? 0.39, Cardinals, 13%. So, Tunney gets a point on the percentage because he was close, even though he went over. He was close. He was off by...
That's not Price is Right rules.
Oh, quiet you.
That's why I went low. God damn it.
He was off by 0.3%.
Wow.
And
well
come
done,
on, guys.
PC.
The worst start to an NFL?
Oh,
damn it.
Oh, and 26, my Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
That was a giveaway.
That was a giveaway, and I'm disappointed in both of you.
I'll take the point.
Damn it.
You'll take the percentage point. All right. And so, DP, door number one or door number three?
Ugh, take door number one.
Ooh, another Price is Right rules.
Ugh.
And since we're going to be talking about the NWA later, granted it's going to be the national championship, this question is going to involve the world's championship. So as we all know, Nick Aldis has held the NWA championship during this recording for 710 days. He's not even close to Luthez's record reign in days. What is it?
Oh, boy.
Not even close. And for those of you that's listening, like good old Greg DeMarco, I'm going by the days recognized rules, not the days that they have accumulated rules. Because they have both on the week.
I'm sure I am, like, horribly under.
So the second ever NWA champion...
Oh, well, he's probably going to beat me.
Both of you did go over.
Oh, then I won.
Wow, what?
Won. It was actually 2,300 days.
Let's say not
NWA
even close.
That's NWA.
There.
NWA championship.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would have said that then.
All right, so this one is another... 2-point question, so maybe DP can
tie it.
Maybe Tunney can get a win here.
Well, the last question is 2 points?
The last question is another 2-pointer, because I'm feeling generous.
Jeez, I'm up 2-0, right? I'm up 2-0.
Two to nothing, so if you get,
get one part.
One of
what
these,
up?
If you get at least
bit a dollar,
one,
just bit a dollar.
Won. I haven't won yet. It's 2-0, there's one question left. This is Tobias!
Oh, come on. I got to make it exciting for us a little bit. Come on. You know this.
That's what she said.
Damn right. That's what she said.
All right. I'll take the door that's not spoken for.
The door unspoken for. So, the question is, who did Billy Gunn betray to join Road Dogg to form the New Age Outlaws? And what was his name before he betrayed this person?
Oh, boy. What was his name before?
What was his name before? Because he wasn't always Billy Gunn.
Oh, man.
Especially with the person that he was.
I got it. I think I just watched this.
Oh, I don't know then, because I thought it was... I'm wrong. I don't got it. I definitely don't have it.
A legendary person that took Billy Gunn under his wing.
Yeah. I have nothing, because I was going to put Bart Gunn, but that's not right, so.
That was after. Neither of you got it.
What?
To join the New Age Outlaws, wasn't Billy Gunn.
Wasn't this a thing, though?
I don't know. Barry Windham? I don't know.
I don't think so. Not to form the New Age Outlaws.
New Blackjack. Who were the New Blackjacks?
Wasn't that JBL? Wasn't that JBL?
That was Bradshaw. My bad.
Yeah.
I fucked it
wasn't
up.
From the New Age Outlaws.
I didn't get it. I won. Go ahead. I'm happy.
I didn't get it.
PC Tony won, but what happened was...
It wasn't Bart Gunn.
No, because that's what I thought it was, but then you said it was a different name, and I'm like, well, shit, that's not Bart Gunn then.
Road Doggy told good old...
Double J?
Close. Because he did hit him with the El Kabong. It was the Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, geez.
That he betrayed. Good old Rockabilly to form the New Age Outlaws. Oh. Road Dogg, Jesse James, and the badass Billy Gunn. And if that doesn't answer your question, then I don't know what will.
If you don't like that.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Sonny wins! Yay!
All is right with the world.
Like John Cena or Stone Cold. That's what your brother always used to say when we'd watch all those pay-per-views all the time. Anytime Stone Cold would finally win the belt back, he would be like, and all is right with the world again.
I can see it.
Blame it on the booze, got you feeling loose. Blame it on the drugs, got you feeling gone. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol. She says she usually don't.
Fantasy football time here on the DWI podcast, and since I've last spoken to your earballs, I am now from last to first, taking first the last 2 weeks, and this past week three, having the highest point total yet in the DWI podcast, Blame It on the Alcohol Fantasy Football Challenge, just so y'all know.
That is correct.
105.8 points is the new weekly record here on the DWI podcast, Blame It on the Alcohol Fantasy Football Challenge. I can attribute a lot of that to Alvin Kamara going off for 44.7. I'm lucky no one picked Patty Mahomes last week. He probably would have had a close to the same amount of points. The standings read as such. Remember, you get 3 points for taking first during the week. You get 1 point for not finishing last during the week. And you don't get any points if you don't finish in the top two. PC Tony, 6 points. DP, 5 points. AJ, bringing up the rear, 1 point for drafting over again. AJ, we're going to start from last to first. So over the next 3 weeks, you will go first this week. DP will go first next week. I will go first the last week. That means this week I pick first the third and fourth time. DP, you get to pick the second position. AJ, what position would you like to start with, and what NFL player would you like to take you up the standings this week?
The past 2 weeks.
Just so you know, no matter what happens, you're still going to be in last place next week. I just want you to know that.
Probably, because the past 2 weeks, since, Sonny, you were not here last week, we did it all via group chat.
I didn't want you to be surprised. Like, you won it all. Won the week, and you're like, oh, I'm still in last, and be depressed. I didn't want that to happen to you. I care about you, okay?
And I appreciate that, but I knew as soon as I'm like, oh, yeah, George Kittle is hurt for week, what was it, two?
Two. Yeah.
And then week three, freaking Mark Andrews decided not to show up. So I'm a little iffy when it comes to these tight ends.
Well, or I mean, yeah.
But, do I even want to say tight ends just so I get, like, a good tight end?
Are you starting?
I would say no.
You get first pick.
I do get first pick. That is true. So I'm gonna go.
Position to get the first pick in. Don't take anybody from Pittsburgh or Tennessee. By the way, just a little insider tip.
Oh yeah, I'm well aware.
You don't get their points from their doubleheader or whatever they're gonna end up playing to finish.
Somebody asked me that in the fantasy football league I'm running, and I'm like, I am not dealing with that bullshit.
So how the fantasy football works,
and that's when you'll get them. And I said, you know what? Anybody who has a Steeler or Titan this week, you can drop them and pick up a guy, but then you automatically, that will be reversed. The guy you picked up will automatically be dropped no matter what happens, and you'll automatically get the guy back Tuesday morning. So that's how we did it in my league. Just so, a little fantasy football update. No one objected. DP generally agrees. We generally agree on most things when we work out problems like that. AJ, I see you want to jump in there.
So for those that don't know, and if you are doing fantasy football this week and you actually listen to us for some ungodly reason, the Steelers-Titans game was rescheduled for October 25th because a couple of the Titans personnel got COVID, so they're rescheduling it, so there you don't have to worry about that game at all.
Correct. There was a bye week 7 and 8 there between the two teams, and then the Ravens are likely going to move their bye week and for week 9, so there's a couple differences that are going to happen there, but they're working it out. It's going to be a lot better than baseball, where they were so far behind because you can't play doubleheaders in football. So, without further ado, AJ, why don't you make a fucking draft pick, huh?
I was being nice and helpful, so sue me. I'm gonna have my fingers crossed. I'm gonna go pick a four-leaf clover. Hopefully, he's back because I think I read something that said he's back. I'm gonna go with George Kittle. Against the Philadelphia Eagles.
You gotta be kidding me.
Because I, hilariously enough, you can even ask Andrew when you do the Pot is War, I actually said the Eagles and the Bengals were gonna die. And he will admit that. Wow. He'll be like, I don't know how the fuck I did it.
There it is. DP.
Oh, man. Who did I take last week? Did I take Kelsey?
Last week, you took Kelsey.
All right. All right. Let's see. Just making sure who I can't pick. That's all I was doing there. Oh, man. You know, I kind of like... this is going to be a tough one. I like Darren Waller. Let's go with Darren Waller from the Raiders.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh boy, I'm just kind of looking down the matchups now. I can go last. I can say whatever I want here. I like Hayden Hurst from Atlanta against Green Bay. I think Atlanta's going to move. I know he only had the one to the touchdown. Zach Ertz, Goddard's out. Kittle is back. I could go Kelsey, but against New England, they want to shut down the best thing they got going on. I think get there. Jimmy Graham caught some touchdown. Mo Alley Cox from Indianapolis. If you don't have him on your roster and you need a backup tight end, or you need a tight end, he's available in your league, go get him. Boy. Gesicki against Seattle. Hockenson. I like Austin Hooper against Dallas. Dallas Super can't duper. Stop anything.
I was going to say, there was one other pick that you haven't said that I was going to do, but I was also looking at TJ Hockenson against the Saints. But I'm like, nah, I got to go with Kittle since I think he's back, and you confirmed my affirmations, so.
Wow. I'm going to go Zach Ertz.
Wow.
I'm a little more surprised that another tight end wasn't picked, especially against the team that they're facing.
Maybe against the Giants?
No, I was going to say Greg Olsen against the Dolphins.
Ooh. Yeah, Greg Olsen doesn't really get that many. I mean, if you look at, let's look at his even. You want to get in depth on something here. I'll get in depth on you. Let's look at his targets and things of that nature.
Oh boy.
Greg Olsen, I mean, over three games, he had 9 catches on 11 targets for 85 yards. That's not much going on there.
Fair.
I mean, that's Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf show over there. All right, DP, your position of choice is next besides tight end. You go.
Oh, sweet. Well, I am going to hope he continues this ridiculous start to the season of points, and I'll take Alvin Kamara as my running back.
Nothing wrong with that. I definitely benefited from that last week.
AJ, running back is the position at hand.
Running back is the position at hand. I'll take Lamar Jackson. No, I'm kidding.
Take Sam Darnold. He ran more for the Jets than anybody.
Yeah, I know. Holy shit. Can I pick Sam Darnold? No, I'm kidding. Running back, eh? Well, I'm going to pick off of my team. However, it's not going to be Ronald Jones. It's actually going to be Leonard Fournette. I think he's going to bounce around and make that line of the Chargers look like a fool.
I'm just debating between the two best workhorses that are out there right now, and it's going to be either Cook or Zeke, and I like Zeke at home against Cleveland, Dallas, ball control victory over the Browns. I'll take Elliott. All right.
Nice.
All right. I get first pick on both the last picks this week, so why don't we start? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Kicker?
Why don't we start with the wide? Why don't we start?
Kicker?
Yes, Al Del Greco.
Let's
start at the wide receiver position, and I am going with Calvin Ridley against the Green Bay Packers for sure.
Well done.
Not a bad pick at all.
Oh, brother. Brother.
AJ next? Gets the first pick here on the first
there we go.
Second round because he went first. He gets 1-1. DP, you get 2-2. That's how this works.
I get the Chuck Woolery. I like it.
I know that I said I was going. I wanted to pick Greg Olsen, and I'm not gonna because we already did tight end. So let me dip into the Seahawks pool here and go with DJ Metcalf or DK Metcalf. Sorry, I believe his name is
DK Metcalf. There you go. As long as he can hang on to the ball all the way to the end zone,
especially against the Dolphins, I don't think they have a good secondary.
TP, who's catching balls for you this week?
What?
You heard me.
I believe I am going to go with your team, AJ, Mr. Belaz. Since everybody else is injured in the wide receiving group, I'm going to take Mike Evans, who seems to be the only one healthy right now, at least.
Yeah.
There you go.
Chris Godwin. Not to be confused with Chris Goodwin from Terrell Williams' tweet.
Yeah.
Or Keenan Allen. Sorry, it was Keenan Allen that said, you know, he's better than this person, and said Chris Goodwin. I don't know who Chris Goodwin is, but Godwin's pretty good.
Oh, he must be better than him then. I know, because I got Godwin on my fantasy team, so it's just a fucking worthless son of a bitch.
My apologies.
Oh, quarterback is at hand, fellas, and I'm really struggling. I'm not, you know what? I'm gonna Lamar Jackson rebound.
Yeah, that's probably the same bet, especially against the Washington team redacted.
DP.
Ooh, I got the deuce. It's my turn.
You first crack at QB.
Well, Russell Wilson did pretty well for me last week. Not good enough, apparently, to win good first place.
He was the high-scoring quarterback of the three we had. We had Wilson. Here was our picks last week, folks. Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Tom Brady all scored over 26. Kamara had 44 blocks. DP Jonathan Taylor did not do you any justice.
Nope.
13 point something. Derrick Henry with 27. Didn't even have 10 points. Ridley barely had 17. Hopkins got me over 23. And then at the tight end, nobody did any good. Andrews, Kelsey, and Henry all held under 15 points last week.
Andrews had points? Wow.
5.2. I think He had two catches for 32 yards or something like that.
Yeah, and he dropped an easy touchdown.
Yeah, you don't get points for that, though.
No.
Not so much.
As I drink away more of my sorrows.
So, man, I really wanted to go with Aaron this week, but with all the injuries at wide receiver that I don't even know who's playing for him, I think I'm going to go with Mr. Mahomes this week against New England.
Against New England.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's tough because I really want to go with Rodgers, but as much as I don't want to root for the home team specifically for a player, but with possibly Adams out and Lazard is out, it's going to be a little rough, I think.
Yeah, you can have anybody but Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes.
Part of me almost wants to say Aaron Rodgers, but...
You know he's going to have like 80 points this week, too, because I fucking didn't pick him.
But looking at who everyone's playing, looking at everything that's going on...
He's going Dak.
It's going Russell.
You're going Dak, aren't you?
It's going Russell.
Actually not going Dak or Russell.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go with another, hopefully, game.
Kyler Murray.
No, I'm going to go with Jared Goff against the New York Giants. Because the Giants, apparently, unless you're the Bills, I can't even say if you're the Bills. If you're a team in New Jersey, you are not showing up to your games at all.
Speaking of Rams, though, if you picked up Daryl Henderson in your fantasy football league, you know that this kid is going to be good. And look for that dude to have a ton of points against the Giants after they go up big this week. So,
oh, yeah.
AJ, Jared Goff, Leonard Fournette, DK Metcalf, George Kittle, DP, Patrick Mahomes, Alvin Kamara, Mike Evans, Darren Waller, PC, Lamar Jackson, Zeke Elliott, Kelvin Ridley, and Zach. My balls, Zach.
Earths. Assuming Wentz can remember how to play football.
NFL thoughts here before we go to last call right here on episode 247 of the DWI podcast. AJ?
Go check out all of our reviews, not just wrestling, but also video game as well. Go check all of us out on the Twitters. And, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Minus 7. Let's go Pack. Go. Tampa Bay win, cover, not cover, still win, lose. What's your prediction here on Tampa Bay game this week? Home against the Chargers.
Against the Chargers? We have the wild card basically as Air Bear. We don't know what Herbert can really do. I know he didn't have the best showing against the Panthers last week. He's just getting over the whole rookie slump. He's getting acclimated to the NFL. So that was basically his welcome to the league. But I think the Bucs will win, but it's going to be close is how I'm going to see that.
Yeah. Is covering 7 or not?
Yeah, I think it'll cover. I think it'll be more. I think it'll be they win by like 10 points.
DP, your thoughts on week 4 of the upcoming NFL weekend here after the phenomenal game we had. We already talked about Broncos Jets last night.
Let's hope Sunday's better than that. You know, we got our first bout of COVID and issues with the loss of a game here or having to switch around games. Let's hope this is the only incident and that it doesn't continue to happen, because this can cause all sorts of problems, especially when it comes to football, where it's a lot harder to make up these games. So I'm hoping that this is the only time we see this and we can continue on with some good football, because it's definitely needed and been sorely missed and is an entertaining way to spend your Sunday. So that's my hope. That's my look into the future of football. Let's hope that's the only incident we get this year.
Bill Belichick versus Patrick Mahomes, CBS, 325 Central, 425 Eastern this Sunday. Definitely the game of the week. Sunday night, Monday night proved to be better games than the records display. Philly trying not to go to 0-3-1, Atlanta trying not to go in 0-4, and San Francisco and Green Bay both trying to continue their success early on in the season. That's NFL. Blame it on the alcohol fantasy football week, if you will. D, one thing today, and it's last call.
What do you mean it's last call?
What do you mean? What do I mean? Well, we're going to do a quick double shot before we get the hell out of here today. Make sure you go ahead and go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Make yourself look more aesthetically pleasing before your next indie show. You'll be having a shirt that no one else will. You will be the belle of your indie ball. Gentlemen, AEW has decided to go ahead and do an 8-man tournament number one contender for Jon Moxley's title. They've announced Rey Fénix, Jungle Boy, and Kenny Omega are in this tournament. Who else would you like to see in the tournament? Who do you think is going to ultimately end up facing Jon Moxley? And AJ, who eventually would you like to see Jon Moxley drop this belt to when it happens, either in the near or distant, or in somewhere in the middle? The appropriate future, we'll call it. DWI podcast number 247. The appropriate future.
God, nothing is appropriate about us. Oh, come on. Am I wrong? Come on.
I didn't say you're wrong. I just said hey.
No, but all right. So people who I see that could join this. I mean, we already said Jungle Boy, Rey Fénix, and Kenny Omega. I can see Hangman joining the fray into this, maybe facing Kenny Omega in one of the round matches. Who knows? Who wins this championship? It would be nice to actually see Jungle Boy actually show off his talent against Jon Moxley, have a face-versus-face match for the AEW World Championship. And obviously, Moxley's going to retain that. Not discrediting Jungle Boy at all. I just think... now, maybe not the best time to drop it. I think there has to be a bigger, badder person to face Jon Moxley at the moment, where it might be Hangman actually getting an edge and joining the new Four Horsemen with Tully and FTR. So you might see Hangman becoming the Ric Flair of that group, as you will, or anything like that. But I see Jungle Boy winning this. I see in the distant future, Hangman actually taking it to Moxley saying, hey, I didn't need the Elite all this time because I am the Hangman and I can do whatever I want. So let me just do some cowboy shit and win with the Deadeye.
DB, before I answer that question, I'm just going to, you know, piggyback off of that right there, because what better way to do that than to have Kenny Omega win this and Jon Moxley's reign and then have Hangman win it from Kenny Omega?
It's not a bad way to go. My thoughts on this were that we'd end up seeing Adam Page was going to get in this, you know, Hangman Page, and Omega would be the last two left in this tournament. We'd have to go up against each other, and one of the two gets, I assume, you know, I don't know who's going to be end up being the heel in this whole thing. I think it seemed like Omega was going to be the heel. You know, at the beginning it seemed like Adam Page was, but now the way the storyline was starting to go, Omega looked like he was going to be the heel. So I'm not sure where they're going to end up going.
There are no more heels.
Yeah, the heel and face dynamic doesn't exist.
Roman Reigns and Kenny Omegas and Hangman Pages and Mrs. That's just what there is. It's not there anymore.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to bring it back.
There was evil and good.
Evil would always triumph because good is dumb.
Good is dumb.
But I could see Hangman Page and Omega going at it. You know, Omega gets the, you know, Page gets the better of him, goes up against Moxley, and then Omega costs, you know, Page the championship, so he can't beat Moxley, and, you know, something like that where they can continue that storyline. So I assume Page is going to be in this thing. I could probably see, you know, Darby Allin getting in there, and Scorpio Sky probably in this tournament as well. So it's probably going to be, you know, maybe Jake Hager. I could see him getting this and getting the win and going up against Moxley as well. That could be a really good match. So I don't see the winner of this coming out with the title. You know, they had other plans, and obviously COVID is changing a lot of plans really fast on a lot of these shows between AEW and WWE. So, you know, they're kind of throwing things together on the fly, and, you know, just for my sake, you know, I don't think that's going to lead to a title change, although it can lead to guys getting opportunities that they never got before and having a chance to show off. So that's good. In that sense, it's good. But I don't see anybody, whoever wins this thing, beating Moxley for the title. I think it'd be cool to see. I kind of feel like Omega or Paige are going to come out with this thing with the win, but it would be cool to see somebody else get it and get that opportunity. You know, like, you know, I don't think Jungle Boy will necessarily get it, but, you know, somebody else. Scorpio Sky has been on a good roll. Him versus Omega or versus Moxley could be a really, really fun match to watch too. So
it's interesting to me, because what would you guys think if Chris Jericho was the next person to take that off of Moxley, and they just wanted to solidify that title heritage where it was Jericho, Moxley, Jericho. Jericho's first two-time champ, has a big long reign again, because Cody's not coming back for it, you know. And you said we don't necessarily see Moxley losing it here because of this. You also have to think that Lance Archer short-term, this is a way just to get momentum back for him to go back into having that title shot. Any thoughts on that?
I would think so. I mean, you know, he definitely obviously didn't get his shot, you know, didn't get his opportunity because of everything that happened. And I mean, even Brian Cage, you know, had a short jump at the title and really didn't get the opportunity, you know, that I thought he should, you know, I guess. So, you know, he could be right back up in there too. So, you know, I kind of feel like this is, you know, these kind of things that they're throwing together are, you know, placeholders, you know, just to get past everything that's going on and then get back to the story they were trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, the big problem with AEW, especially with bigger guys like Brian Cage and Lance Archer, is they don't really know how to make them look that good. Where Brian Cage lost in kind of a not-so-Brian Cage fashion, in all honesty. And then Lance Archer, I mean, granted, yeah, he got sick and everything, so they were making sure that it's like, hey, stay away, but I would like to see Archer get it, especially with the tutelage of Jake Roberts by his side, but I'm still sticking to they're going to give a little bit of a rub to Jungle Boy, make it look like he's coming up, he's the next underdog, and then since he lost, but there's a show of respect, someone's going to get pissed off that there was respect, because I think Jericho also said that him and Hager are going to be in the tag title picture moving forward. I could be wrong. Not the most keen eye when it comes to Dynamite, so I could be wrong on that, but I think Jericho and Hager are going for the tag titles after this, so who knows how this is going to play out.
This is telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Aaron Stevens, Trevor Murdoch, NWA National Title, UWN, United Wrestling Network. Shine some light on the feud that was happening here and the big title change that just happened. And the fact that we've heard news that NWA has decided that they're going to try and move forward with television very soon, regardless of whether or not there's an audience.
That is right. By the champ's mouth himself, Power is still going to continue in some way, shape, or form. We're really not sure how. But with UWN, there has been title defenses of the NWA World Championship, the NWA Women's Championship, and now the National Championship. And this is the first championship that actually changed. So going with the feud on Power, Aaron Stevens is kind of the whole prima donna, basically Shawn Michaels back in the 90s, where it's like, you're gonna have to fight my bodyguards in order to get through me. But we didn't see that in UW1. He actually mounted some offense. He actually took it to Murdoch. You see a little cheekiness where it was like he blinded him by spotlights and whatnot, but Murdoch comes in clutch, gets the win, and he's now the new NWA national champion, which, I mean, I'm happy that Murdoch actually got this win. I thought he deserved it a while ago, and now with the pandemic and all that happening, he finally gets it. It just took, what, 6 months for him to actually get that championship opportunity? But no, I'm actually really proud. There's not really much else to say. They didn't do anything special with the win. It wasn't like a finishing move that did it. It was Aaron Stevens was trying to target the leg of Murdoch over and over, since Murdoch's finisher is a diving bulldog from the top rope. And Stevens tried to go for a sunset flip, and he's just like, yeah, no, my leg's going to give out. I'm going to sit on you instead. 1, 2, 3, new champion. So it was really good. If you want to catch UWN, it's on the Fight Network at 9 p.m. Eastern. I know usually you'll see my reviews on Wednesday because Fight and my computer get along about as well as oil and water. So
it's a fight.
It is a fight. But, yeah, so I've been covering all of that. You can see that on the chair shot as well. But, yeah, it's really nice to see a new champion come out on top. Happy to see Trevor Murdoch actually get a little bit of praise, because we've all seen him as the redneck that helps out Lance Cade and WWE. And for those that actually pay attention to TNA, I know I missed giving Tony a heart attack from saying that, with Jethro Murdoch was his name. Wrong arm, Tony. You held your right arm, not your left. There you go.
Oh my god, are you all right?
It's an advanced heart attack. But, yeah, no, it was actually really nice.
I'm just doing the Macarena.
But no, it was actually good to see Murdoch actually get a little bit of praise of stuff that he can do, because he... Right now, he's basically like the modern-day Harley Race or Dusty Rhodes, where, yeah, he's not the typical body that you see for the World Championship or the Mid-Card Championship, where everyone has a six-pack and can do, like, 5 handsprings and a super kick and whatnot. Nah, he's rough and tough, and he's going to mess you up, and that's all what NWA is all about.
Any NWA questions for AJ or thoughts on that coming back at all?
No, I mean, I'm looking forward to the video game that's coming out for NWA. That's about it. Does that count?
Can you mention some of the people that are on there? I actually seen that. Can you mention a couple of characters? I know Aldis and some other people of that nature.
Yeah, let me bring it up here. I got, actually, Hawk and Animal are making a return to that one, because it's Retromania Wrestling. It's a, you know, technically a sequel to WrestleFest, but Tommy Dreamer's on there, Nick Aldis, Colt Cabana, Johnny Retro, Matt Cardona.
Which, if people want to know who Johnny Retro is, it's Mundo,
Johnny Hennigan, Nitro,
whatever you want to call him.
Johnny Nitro, I would say, is his most known name.
Yeah.
Matt Cardona would be Zack Ryder. Big Stevie Cool, Steven Richards, Nikita Koloff, Zack Sabre Jr., Warhorse, Austin Idol, Chris Bay, just to name a few.
All of the Blue World Order, actually. Right, Hollywood now. Nova and the Blue Mania as well.
Blue Mania is on there too, yep. Yeah. So...
All right, gentlemen, let's go around the horn. We'll start with DP. He's already talking about the video games right there. Let everybody know what's going on with you all over thechairshot.com.
Well, we got talking video games on A Winner Is You. We skipped this week. There wasn't really much to talk about after all the big PS5 and Xbox news the week before. It was kind of a down week, so we decided to take a week off. But you can catch all of that on Twitter and Facebook at A Winner Is You, the letter U, A Winner Is You. And, the aforementioned pro wrestling tees, you know, go on there and get yourself a Winner Is You t-shirt. We got two different styles out there.
spend a few extra bucks and get the premium soft. I recommend that one over the regular. Even, you know, it's very comfortable, and you know, it's a nice shirt, especially to wear.
You could spend $5.
You could spend $5 more.
You're
taking too long.
You spend $5 more and get the premium soft. That's what we was talking about right there.
Green strong style. Green soft style.
DP, the king of soft style with his shirts.
That's right. AJ, where can they find you? What do you got going on?
You can find me on the Twitters at PhenomenalAJB. You can also catch some of my articles on thechairshot.com. Like I said before, I did the Clash of Champions review along with United Wrestling Network, UWN. They're going to have another show on Tuesday, so you can catch my article Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern. And I'm going to be nice because I'm the loving brother I am. Along with the pro wrestling t-shirts, there's another shirt out there for my older brother and Chris Platt on Pod is War, the Platt Blast 2020, because, I mean, we've all seen the presidential debate this week. It was kind of eh. One party looked dumb and vice versa. So why not go with people that actually admit they're dumb with Chris Platt, Andrew Blaz? Go support Platt Blaz 2020 on thechairshot.com/thechairshot.
ProWrestlingTees.com/chairshot. I know that one fucks me up every time. Even on the I did a solo shot a couple weeks ago and fucked that up a couple times. My name is PC Tunney. You can follow me at PC Tunney. I love to give my NFL picks every week. We're above 500. I don't know if we'd be making money with juice. The locks had a beating last week, but it's early. So, you know, check out at PC Tunney for my picks this weekend. Had the winner, the Broncos, last night. Food. Loving me some food. Loving what's going on. The chef show with DP. Who's the guy? Why are names eluding me? Roy Choi and Swingers.
John Favreau.
Favreau. And Roy Choi. New episodes of The Chef Show are out. That's good things stuff. Are eluding me. And if you're hunter,
WI247 botching names left and right.
Yeah, we're a cooking show.
There you go. We're a cooking show. Always a cooking show. And also Netflix Meat Eater. If you're a hunter, watch it. If you're not a hunter, don't watch it. But Steven Ranallo, Meat Eater, a lot of good recipes, a lot of good hunts on there to check out. I know I'll be watching the boys after this. Gentlemen, we did it again. Last thoughts around the horn?
Have fun cooking.
Have fun cooking and go enjoy The Boys Season 2 on Amazon Prime. Trust me, you're not going to regret it.
Let's wrap this up because I got the newest episode to watch. And you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as
Did I do a good job filling in with the you've been listening bit last week? Because I tried my best Tunney impression.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't listen. God. I'll have to go back and listen.
It's total BS.
Tunney was not listening to the new edition.
Alegría, Macarena.